Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain the leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hey, welcome to part three of my interview with John Termini, a man that I'm thrilled to know. I grew up on an island, Long Island in New York, did business and then did ministry in another island, Manhattan Island in New York. And then God called him to the island of Oahu, where he's planting not only a church, I think a church planting movement. And I'm excited that God is breathing new life into dry bones in Hawaii. It's a wonderful, wonderful time to be alive. Hope you enjoy this. I want to have you share a little bit about how you guys landed in Kiwalo, how that worked.
I wanted to tell you a story that I think you'll appreciate. There was a missionary who was sent to Africa. And when he was sent to Africa, he served the community there for a number of decades and loved them really well. And when he had died, they asked to plead, the Queen of England wrote the community and said, please send his body back. And so they send us, you know, through a boat and get it there. And eventually they send his body back to England. And they had heard about the reports of the work that he had done, and they honored him. And when they opened up the coffin, they saw that his body was there, but they had removed his heart. And so they wrote back to the community and in Africa, and they said to him, they said, what happened to his heart? And they said, oh, his body can return to England, but his heart will remain in Africa. Yeah. And for me, I don't know that there's a greater honor.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's because that's what pastoring, that's what shepherding, that's what loving people is all about. And I don't care, honestly, what people have to say on the surface about what we're doing, but if people could know that, like, hey, we loved the people on her left or her right, that's what this is all about at the end of the day. And I think the same goes for you and for others. Like, you know, there's a lot of noise around church right now, but there are genuine leaders. And I'm going to say this, there are young men that God is raising up in Hawaii right now from Hawaii that are going to take the church on in a beautiful way. And my job is to give those men my heart, is to give those women my heart, and for them to build the church and to take her into this next decade and this next season. And so you've done it so well, others. Yeah. And you know, the reason why we're at Kiwalo's, and people ask me, why'd you go to town? The reason why we went to town is because if we don't go, who will?
Yeah, that's right.
Share the message. And, you know, I look at the church this way. If you were to get on a plane and I told you one of the wings was discipleship and the other wing was evangelism, and I told you the plane you're about to get on, they're great at discipleship, but they're not so good at evangelism, you would not get on that plane if you thought one of those was not in good shape.
Right.
And I think too often we have a church that's missing a wing or has a damaged wing. And I just think that in this season, as we build THE while it's in the air, we have to make sure that we're looking after both the discipleship wing and we're looking after the evangelism wing. And people will ask us and will question and will scratch their heads. Are you this or are you that? We're not one or the other. We are both, but you don't want a plane in the air with one wing. It's not healthy. It will not fly. It will crash at some point. And the reason why we're in town is because we are continuing to build that evangelism wing, as we need to work really hard on the discipleship one and get better and make hires and staff and need finances to resource and to do all the things that we want to do well. And we're trusting God with it. We're trusting God that he sends the wind and he sends the right people and the right mechanics and engineers and all those that are going to help us build it. But yeah, town is really, all I can say is, like, you know, one pastor, we'd say it this way. I grew up a Pentecostal church, so we'd say it this way. Like, when you hear a song on a Sunday And we would say it this way in my old Pentecostal background, we say, oh, there's oil on that song.
Uh-huh.
You knew there was oil on the song. That what that meant is basically like, that's not just a song, there's oil on it, meaning God right now in this season is using it. And it's funny, but like when a room like Carl and Kristen just started, happens on the North Shore, you as a leader, you have to not go system structure. You have to go, oh, there's oil on that. You know, you go to Kewalos, you go to town, and we start, and you're just like, there's oil on that.
Yeah, there is.
And so there's just something happening, and it's messy, and it's disorganized, and it's kind of chaotic, but there's a beauty in the chaos, and there's a symphony, right? And that's God's playing, and we're simply trying to, you know, strike the right chord. So it's all of that's happening in town right now. But there's, you know, yeah, it's the middle of the summer, and there's almost 200 kids there, 200 people there last week. And we're not even like there. It's just crazy, and it's just exploding, and the kids don't want to stop worshiping at night.
I know.
They're open, and they just want to keep going and sending it. And there's at 7:37 every single, or I was sorry, 6:37 every, you know, Sunday night, there's a boat that goes by, and they're playing loud. Like you said, I stop if I'm preaching and say, okay, it's our turn to make more noise than they are. We have to let them know we're having more fun than they are. And so you just roll with it. In New York City, it was a Bacardi bat and a bar that's in a nightclub that smelled like booze, and we were having church there, and we were telling people we're sorry for the smell. And here in Hawaii, it's a boat going by that's with people raging on a Sunday night that probably need the hope that's in our room. So we're just letting them know we're here. It's just the church, you know, and it's messy, but it's real. And I think that's what people want. I think what people want is not artificial. They want authentic. And I think this whole AI thing is the greatest thing that could happen to the body of Christ, is because when everyone is freaked out by what it is, artificial intelligence, we will be able to offer them authentic impartation. And that comes through the Holy Spirit and the presence of God in the room. And I can just tell you, when these kids get together right now, the presence of God is just...
That's good. That's really good. I want you to tell us about your vision for reaching the whole state, and probably beyond. I really think that local people ultimately have to carry the ball. When I first went there, if there was a white pastor, it was a white congregation. And so we just prayed and prayed and prayed that we would be, you know, we'd reach local people. I used to stand in the back and while doing worship, and I'd look over the heads of the people in the audience. If I saw too much brown and blonde hair, I'd pray harder. Because we have to, if there's not a lot of black hair in our church, we're not going to get where we got to go. And we felt we were called there to equip young men and women to reach other people through evangelism, through what we're doing in our own church, but by planting churches across the state. And so we ended up doing that pretty well. And it's kind of gone flat. And I felt sad. It's like, you know, revival comes in waves, and we know that there's been several waves of church planting in Hawaii. It actually started, you know, one of the things that I take some kind of pride in is the fact that Kenneth McCokane is pastoring Kauai Hau Church, which is founded by the original missionaries. And I feel it is like God saying, hey, you guys did okay. I'm linking one of your guys to their guys. And so that's been a really cool thing for us. But, you know, then there was a wave of Order of Sacred Hearts, Catholic Church. They planted most of the Catholic churches in Hawaii, including the one in Waikiki. Those guys planted. And then it kind of all went flat. And then after a while, there was a big Makiki Christian came along. And when the first boat that brought cane field workers from Japan brought two missionaries, one to the Big Island, a guy named Takie Okamura to Oahu. And Okamura started little churches in the cane camps. Today, you know, we're using that word micro church. I don't know what you really call them, but he was like a Methodist circuit rider. And Makiki Christian came out of that, and then that went away. And then it didn't go away, but I mean, the movement kind of stopped being a movement. And then right after the war, it was a Baptist movement that went right up until just about when we moved there, and we came there in 1983. I was 38. You were 39. I was just about 39 when I got there. And the last of the of those Southern Baptist churches to, you know, in that being a movement, and they had started a lot of churches, but they quit. And then we showed up. And then it's kind of, you know, then Wayne Cordero came, and both of us planted pretty much the same number of churches during our tenure there, but theirs were bigger than ours by far. And so God did a wonderful thing. And then I've seen it kind of go flat. And so my son, daughter-in-law got involved with you, and I was happy for that. And so they had me listen one week to a YouTube. I heard you talking. And I was sitting there enjoying it. It was good. You know, kind of nodding, old man, some guy's doing good. That's great. And then you wandered. You could tell you got off your notes. And you get over into Ezekiel and you start talking about the dry bones. And you go, God, we believe God called us here to breathe life into dry bones. And I started to weep. It's like I know where the dry bones are. They're called Hope Chapel. They're called New Hope. And we need something fresh from the Holy Spirit. There's something that has to happen, or everything's just gonna, you know, eventually just get old and die. And I at that point, I became your biggest fan on the mainland anyway. I just feel so thrilled that the Holy Spirit has done what he's done in your heart and Katie and all the people and my kids and all that's going on. But it comes back down to ultimately it's raising up a cadre of local people to reach local people. That's how we're going to win the war, and the war in the spirit. Just talk to us a little bit about vision and your heart and that.
I'm going to touch on an idea that I haven't fully unpacked yet. Actually, I just looked the scripture up real quick because I want to be sensitive to this. But my dad's a pastor, but he's very prophetic, and I have like this prophetic edge because of my dad. And you know, I just love the Bible, and I love the sons and the daughters of the faith. If you're watching and you're a son and daughter of the faith, I just want to say, like, we underestimate the spiritual lineage that we're a part of, like, the heritage. And I think what I'm seeing in Hawaii right now is a lot of young sons and daughters coming home, and they're saying, this is not my father's faith, this is not my mother's faith, this is my faith. And there's something really powerful about that beginning to take place. There's this new song, I don't know if you heard it, you probably haven't heard it yet, I'll send it to you. It's called Dusty Bibles, and it's like, we're trading in our new iPhones for our dusty Bibles. And it's this, wow. You know, we got what's wrong with us? Why are we feeling so lost? Because we've got dust on our Bibles and brand new iPhones. And it's this whole song that's just remarkable. But in Luke 13, Jesus is you could say, you probably know better, he's getting frustrated or sorrowful. Something's going on. And he says this, he quotes, he says, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Oh, Honolulu. Oh, Hawaii. Oh, Honolulu. The city that kills the prophets and stones God's messengers. How often I have wanted to gather your children together as a hen protects her chicks," he says, "beneath her wings, but you wouldn't let me."
Yeah.
You know, we can do what we want to do and we can stand in the back. And I've had this wrestle and try to look over the community and go, I want it more dark and I want it more this way. And I have really felt like the Holy Spirit. And again, I want to be really clear. I haven't fully unpacked this, but I just feel God saying to me, I am giving everybody a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But sometimes the method God uses doesn't look like the path we would have chosen or the vehicle we would like. And so we could be turning away from the message because we don't like the method. And I'm soberly sitting here going, God, let me not turn away from the message because I don't like your method or vehicle that you're going to use in this season. And I just feel like right now God is gathering from the four corners of the earth his church and his bride. And I think that there has always been a core, a community, and a crowd. And I think if you've been part of the crowd in the church this last season, you are gone. You're not in.
Yeah.
You officially sidelined. And there is a community sitting in homes right now that are even maybe watching this, that God is going, hey, I called you to the core. and you are not supposed to be like those in Jerusalem. In Hawaii, our issue will not be, again, I'm only there for 4 years, I'm learning, but our issue won't be that we're too loud. But my God, our issue might be that we were too silent,
yeah.
That we sat passively by and idly by while God was like, no, I'm ready to do something. And I don't think it's just us. I think God's doing this all over the islands. And he's getting ready to breathe again. And I'm believing God that there are people that are going to put their hand back up and say, hey, hands to the plow. Wayne Cordero used to say this, and I've stolen this. I'm making it my own. I love it. He said, eyes wet, knees bent, hands to the plow. You know, eyes wet, knees bent, hands to the plow. I think God's looking for those in the season going like, eyes wet, stay humble, stay soft to my presence, to my spirit. I'm moving. Knees bent, keep, stay humble, you know, and keep your hands to the plow. My dad told me this when we first moved to Hawaii. And even so, it's been difficult at times, Pastor Al. It's been difficult to be there.
Sure.
It's so lonely.
Yeah.
So, and not because anyone did me wrong, but we had 15, 20 years of relationships that we no longer have. Like somebody would say, I grew up and went to high school with them. We don't have that in Hawaii, but everyone else doesn't. And my dad said something to me one time. He said, son, we're just 3 years in. He said, son, I want you to put your head down and I want you to build for 5 years. And he goes, after 5 years, he goes, you can pick up your head and you can look around and see if there's any fruit. He goes, but until then, don't worry about it.
That's good.
When he said that to me, it was during a season when there was some shockingly people talk and there was some chatter and stuff. And I'm just like, or silence. And I'm like, man, this is interesting. Who's with us? Who's not? Who's feels like maybe imposing it? And I felt, yeah, I think God spoke through my dad and he said, just put your head down. Just feel, just plant, just sow and pick your head up. And 5 years, if there's fruit, then great. If there's not, you know, the haters were right.
you sort of are reaching across the island. Right? I mean, my son and daughter-in-law live in Kahuku. The houses, where geographically, where are the houses? Because that tells us something about the reach of the footprint of the church, the communities you're reaching into.
Yeah, so there are people that drive from Ewa Beach every single weekend. We've got, I would say, 6 or 7 families at least. About a third of the congregation is coming from what I would call Honolulu proper, or like town, Soundside. And then all up along the east side, I mean, you go all the way up on the North Shore, Kahuku. Like, we've got several your family's actually not even driving the furthest. We've got families from Waimea Bay and they're driving from all over to come down. It's taking people, some people, years. Like, people will come up to me all the time at the end of service and go, I've watched it on YouTube, whatever. Like, I'm back. And then they lock and load. But, you know, Waimea was one road in, one road out. And I want to say this, and I'm not trying to get anybody not to come, but I get this sense, and Pastor Norman Nakanishi told me this. He said, I feel like God has purposely planted you in Waimea so that if you're not serious about it, you can't just come and just check it. You gotta want it. It's one word.
That's good.
Says, I feel that God's assembling an army. And he goes, it might not be good for the pastor to hear this, but it's not as easy to get to. But there's an old saying, and you know it. If the church is alive, people will drive.
Yep.
And there is, God bless Kailua. You know, we've seen tons of people come from Kailua. It's crazy. But, you know, there's that church row there, right? And it's just, people have to pass all these other churches. And listen, there are some awesome churches. I got friends there. I think, another New Hope there that I love. But it was wild how if you're alive, people drive. And I just think people are gathering right now at places where they're like, I want to build it. I want to be a part of it. And yeah, so it's exciting. And yeah, the demographics, I'm shocked by how people are coming from literally all over the island.
I love it. Because God's getting ready to do work all over the island. And that's
one of the reasons we're going to town, you know, because again, we don't want to make it hard for people. We're going to have to figure out, we pray for us. We need team. We need finances. Finances are massive to do this. Like, man, if you're not tithing or giving somewhere, I'm starting to get bolder. I'm like, hey, you know, man, even if you can't come, please just subscribe, be a part of the giving. Because I think the finances just to help do this is massive right now. And there's a lot of young people, and You know, I'm going to say there have been literally hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars that have come to our church, not from Hawaii, but all over the country and even all over the world that have literally made this happen. And like you said, I do believe that the people in Hawaii have to be a part of it. And I want to say this, people also say like people don't give, they're not generous. I'm not finding that. I think people in Hawaii are generous, and I think they're just looking for something that they can believe in and something they can be a part of. And I think when they realize that this is it, they, you know.
People in Hawaii are very generous, but young people don't have a lot of money. And that's one of the reasons that I get after my friends who are not going to church and they're not tithing anywhere because they're not going to church. If you can do nothing else, you can go put money in the offering and be a part of what God is doing. I'm all for that. The first two churches I planted, the first one, we funded it totally out of our pocket. We got a free building to meet in. But then we had the money for a down payment for a house. And within 2 months, it was gone. We were dead broke. We closed the savings account, put it in checking, wrote the checks, and we're done. And I was on a bed praying about, can I go back to Oregon and take my family to my dad's basement and get a job selling used cars? Because if you went to a Bible college, you don't know how to do much of else. And so I thought we were going to fail. And the Lord pulled us out beautifully. The second church, we had big backing from Hermosa. I left a church of a couple thousand people, and they put a lot of money in it, and then we ran out of money. The third church was, I handed off. I was getting old and signed for the next generation. And so we started in Kahala in the movie theater, and we ended up very quickly with 120 gray-haired old friends of mine. And so we had money running out our ears, and we were able to plant churches and some in Kenya, bunch in Hawaii. We had a surplus. It was the only time we ever had a surplus. But the reason was that people who are getting, I mean, some of the people are getting to where they can hardly walk, and they're coming into that theater, and their contribution was that they were supporting the ministry. And I think that's a valid thing. I'm old. I'm almost 80, and I have money, and I'm blessing others with the money. And so I'm pleading to people who are listening, listen to what John just said. It takes money, and I'm here to tell you, young people don't have a lot of it. And if we're going to reach a lot of young people, then the rest of us got to get in the act.
You know, it's really a beautiful thing. I have this combo all the time. You know, gray-haired people come in, and they're like, oh, I don't really know if there's a place here. And like every single gray-haired person that comes in says this to me. And I said, no, literally because of that reason, we need you. We can't do this without you. In fact, all of these young kids, they need an auntie. They need an uncle. They need you. They need your grand. And they need to see that, hey, if you stay in the game, look at the fruit. Look at the result. Look what could happen. Your lives are testimonies. And yeah, it's interesting. You know, I laugh all the time. I tell our church sometimes, and some of our key folks, I said, you know, I don't walk into a room. I rarely now do I walk into a space where I'm not getting the check. You know, John's paying, you know, or, you know, dad's paying or whatever. And I think there's something really beautiful about that part of life. Yeah. And I think, I think to be able to take care of and look after our cousins and our nephews and our children and our families, and it's a beautiful part of the journey. You know, what are we going to do? Take it with us? We can't take it with us. The Bible's clear, man. One generation rises up, the other one loses it. It's constant. So this is just a beautiful time. I was very bold at my last church when things were, you know, just up and to the right. And I believed it was Apple stock. I did. I really did. I believed it was Apple stock. And I believe that our church is Apple stock.
Yeah, I do too.
I believe it all my heart. And I better feel that way, right? It's like my wife, I have the greatest wife in the world. I get to pass to the greatest church in the world. And it's just a matter of time before it continues to grow exponentially. And it already is. And so, but it's exciting to get in on the ground and to see what God's going to do. So I'm grateful, and I'm so grateful. I honor you, sir. Thank you so much. You and Ruby, just thank you for paving the way. It's been so cool to have your boy around, who's not a little boy. He's a grown man. He's got a great call on his life, and it's also to see how God renews and reestablishes us and plants us in places where we can flourish again. Yep. You know, and I believe that it's not just Carl's story. I believe it's the story of what God's doing throughout the islands. I believe that there's a lot of people that God is, he's recommissioning.
Yes.
calling them back, saying, hey, this is your season. It's not over. Maybe you thought you were done, but I'm not done with you, you know. And it's a beautiful thing. It was Smith's Wigglesworth. You know, he said, I'm tired from the Lord's work, but I'm not tired of it.
Yeah.
And I think about some of my friends like yourself and others, man, you've done a lot, but you're not tired of it. And it's beautiful.
Well, thanks for doing this. Thank you for taking time and thank you for being there. I'm just so thrilled.
Can you pray for us?
Sure.
Thank you, Jesus.
Father, I want to pray a prayer that used to make me feel a little uncomfortable when I was asked to pray it. But whatever it is that you put on us all those years ago of your spirit and of your grace and perhaps of wisdom, I pray that you would put it on John and his team, because it is team. It's not just one person or one couple. It's team. And I just pray that there would be an anointing of the Holy Spirit. There would be oil on that thing. And that in every way that is beyond what they could even imagine if they sat down and wrote out a shopping list, that you would grace the house established and the houses that are going to be established as a result. I thank you, Lord, so much for what you're doing in Hawaii right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Love you.
Love you. I'll see you in February.
Okay, I'll see you in February.
All right. God bless.
Talk to you soon. Aloha.
Bye-bye. We're going to wind it down. If somebody wanted to ask you a question, is there an email that they could use?
Yeah, so actually email I'm better at right now, jt@thehouseest.com. That's my personal, jt@thehouseest.com.
How about website? I'm really praying that some people that are watching this that are my friends are going to go, I need to go over there and visit. God's calling me home and I'm resisting because I've had a lot of conversations with people. So I know that there's folks out there that need to be with you guys. They do. So give us a website.
Yeah. So www.thehouseest.com, www.thehouseest.com. And then on social media on Facebook, you can find us at The House Established, The House Established. You can find us there. We're on all social media platforms. We're also, you can follow us on YouTube. Our YouTube channel is The House Established.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.